Asi namurvyam bhagavantamadyam Sankarsanam deva makunta sattvam Vivitsavastattamataparasya Kumara Mukhya Munayam Patpichchan Some time ago, being inquisitive to know, Sanat Kumar, the chief of the boy saints, accompanied by other great sages, inquired exactly like you about the truths regarding Vasudev, the Supreme, from Lord Sankarsan, who is seated at the bottom of the universe. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This, in clarification of the statement that the Lord spoke directly on the Srimad Bhagavatam, when and unto whom the Bhagavatam was spoken, is explained herewith. Questions similar to those put forward by Vidura were asked by great sages like Sanat Kumar and Lord Sankarsan, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Lord Vasudev, answered them. Om. Has been posing very relevant questions before the great sage Maitreya. Because of his sincere eagerness to hear the glories of the Lord and thus deepen his faith and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maitreya Rishi is very pleased. The beginning of spiritual life in relationship between guru and disciple is the eagerness to hear. Thadvidi pranipatena hari prasnena seve. Upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatvadarshana. One should approach a proper spiritual master and inquire submissively with a willingness to render service. The great devotees of the Lord, they are not living in this world for any other purpose than to serve. All the 8,400,000 species of life who are in material consciousness have come to this world and remain in this world because of a desire to enjoy. We all want to be a controller, an enjoyer, and we are misusing our constitutional nature as servants by serving our own egoistic desires and serving whoever or whatever will fulfill my egoistic desires. Even people who are so-called selfless servants within material society, generally that selfless service is only a means of somehow or other fulfilling their very selfish, egoistic desires. Therefore, this material world is such a suffering condition where there is so much conflict. Amongst the 8,400,000 species of life, everyone is looking for enjoyment. But the great devotees of the Lord, they live in this world only to engage in selfless service. They have realized that there's nothing valuable to gain in this material existence. Everything of this world will be taken away. What is the value of any of it? It can give no pleasure to the soul. We can fill our house with so many nice clothes and furniture and so many nice jewelries and so many nice technological instruments. But our heart remains completely empty. The real house where your soul is living in, the heart, is vacant. The only thing that can give any valuable pleasure to the heart is service to Krishna, is to please Krishna. It is explained in the Shastra that for a great devotee of the Lord, gold, which traditionally is the standard of all currency, and currency is the means by which we can acquire so many nice articles for our maintenance and enjoyment. So gold is symbolic of the standard of all material attachment. In countries like America, I don't know how every country has worked in its currency department, but all wealth is based on gold as far as money. And what coins and bills, whether they be dollars or whatever, they are just a note that represents so much gold or so much silver. In fact, on every monetary bill in America, it used to say silver certificate. But then somehow or other, they just printed more and more and more and more and more paper, and there was less and less gold. So money became quite meaningless. This is how inflation takes place. When there's more money than what it's actually worth, there's nothing it represents. If you write a check, you have to have that much money in your account, otherwise you're in trouble. Similarly, every note is supposed to represent the true value of so much gold. But when there's not enough gold and there's more, and the whole society begins to fall apart. So gold is very important for materialistic people. That's why Prahlad Maharaj's father was named Hiranyakashipu, because he was very much expert at acquiring lots of gold, Hiranya. And what did he do with that gold? He made so many elaborate arrangements for his Kashipu, for his sex life. Sense gratification, gross or subtle. So, the Shastra describes, for a devotee of the Lord, gold or pebbles, the stones on the side of the road, he sees neither one as more valuable than the other. And when he sees people so eager to achieve more and more wealth, gold, he is not attracted, he is not envious. Materialistic people, when somebody's making a lot of money, they are very envious of the of somebody else who is making more. But for one who has tasted the nectar of devotion, he sees the gold that people are so much decorating their lives with as nothing more valuable than yellow stool. Yellow stool is the worst type of stool. When you have jaundice and you're terribly diseased, your stool is yellow. Sometimes bright, effulgent, glaring yellow. Now people are very much attracted to bright, effulgent gold. But when their stool is bright and yellow, they go to the doctor in great fear. So devotees see gold like yellow stool, caused by the jaundice of material attachment. What is the nature of jaundice? That which is sweet, you cannot even taste. It tastes bitter. Jaundice of material existence is the sweetest of all things to hear and chant the glories of the Lord's names and to hear his pastimes, to serve his lotus feet, to worship his deity. Those who do not taste that process as sweeter than nectar, they have jaundice. Materialistic people, you tell them, chant Hare Krishna. They have no taste. The pravachan of Krishna's lila, Krishna's teachings is going on, and they want to watch the television or go to the concerts of all mundane music or just discuss all sorts of material subjects. They have no taste. Why? Because they have this material disease like jaundice, that which is the sweetest of the sweet tastes bitter. And the symptom of such a jaundice is yellow stool. You become very much attached to material acquisition. Thus, a devotee is not interested in these things. Whether one is a brahmachari, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, or even a grihastha, we will utilize what Krishna allows us to have in his service, but we should not be attached to any of these things. We should not think the standard of success is to acquire more. Sudama Vipra, he just had one set of torn clothes, and his wife had nothing more than that either. They lived in such a little tiny shack. There was no prestige. There was no physical comforts. But they were happy. They were so happy because they had Krishna. They had bhakti. However, on the physical level, there was a lot of inconvenience. The wife did not want anything for herself. She just wanted to serve her husband by giving him something more, but she had no means. So she asked him, go to Krishna. He is Lakshminath. He has everything. He's your friend. So she did it only to serve her husband. And he went only to please his wife. Neither one of them wanted anything except to please the other. But then when he saw Krishna living in Dwarka, what kind of palace did Krishna live in? We are attracted when we see some rich person's house because they have some chandelier and some marble on the walls. But Krishna, his palace in Dwarka, of his principal queen, Rukmini, even Indra, the king of heaven, could not imagine such wealth. So nice. And Sudama Vipra was just sleeping on a little floor in a little beat-up, poverty-stricken shack. And he came into the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful palace of Krishna. He was not envious. He was not thinking, why Krishna has so much and I have nothing? He should give me at least something. Any one little piece from Krishna's massive palace was worth more than anyone could possibly expect to earn in their whole life. Hare Krishna. But Sudama Vipra could not even consider asking Krishna for anything. Why? Because he was satisfied. He was satisfied that Krishna was so merciful to him. His mercy was not to give him something material. How did Krishna express his mercy? Krishna, when he saw Sudama Vipra come into his house, he got off of his own bedstead and put Sudama on his bed. And then he got down on the floor and washed his devotee's lotus feet and sprinkled the water on himself and on his queen. And Rukmini, who is the goddess of fortune, who does not favor you, you cannot earn anything in this world. Sometimes here in India, when big, big, wealthy business people start a new project, they have Lakshmi Puja. Have you seen this Lakshmi Puja? I remember when I was living like a sadhu, I came down from Himalayas, and I came to one city, and I saw so much elaborate arrangements for the worship of the Lord. So I was thinking, this is very nice. Let me go and see what kind of spiritual activity is taking place. Maybe I can get some mercy by doing so. So I went and I saw these people who were doing the worship. It was some families. And they were just so attentive, offering so much puja. And their folded hands. There was yajnas going on. And these people, when they were doing the aartis, they were crying. It seemed so devotional. So I was inquisitive. What is this wonderful, wonderful event? Just by seeing it appears that I will get purified. Just seeing the devotion of these people. So I asked at the end, because they were quite aristocratic people, very well dressed, and they spoke English. I said, I am coming down from Himalayas. I am searching for the absolute truth. I think you must possess something very wonderful. Can you tell me? I was inquiring submissively. Can you tell me, what is this yajna you are doing? And they said that we are starting a new company and we are worshipping Goddess Lakshmi to make it successful, for we can make more and more and more money because we have to get our children married and we want to get a new house and a nice car and so many other things. So I decided to go back to the Himalayas. What are you doing? So Lakshmi Devi, she is the supplier of all material wealth. And Lakshmi is an expansion of Rukmini, who is the queen of Dwarka in Krishna Loka. And she, with her own loving hand, was fanning Sudama with chamara, serving him with great, great love and attention. Krishna wanted to show the world who actually has wealth. That person who is detached from the fever of material existence. Actually, Prabhupada said like this, that material desire is like a fever. You can judge your spiritual advancement by how your fever is going down. The more you have material desires, the more you are diseased. The more you are healthy, the less you have material desires. This is the barometer. So here is someone who didn't even have food to eat. He had to go out begging. Before he came, they wanted to offer Krishna the best gift they possibly could. You can understand that Sudama Vipra and his wife were both pure devotees. Rupa Goswami describes the nature of a pure devotee is they want to offer Krishna the best possible thing that they have. You don't offer Krishna the worst thing that you have. It is said Krishna doesn't only see how much you give, but he sees how much you are holding back. So obviously Sudama Vipra and his wife wanted to give Krishna the best thing they could get in all of creation. And they were so poor that the best thing that they could get was some chipped rice. Chida. Not nice first-class chipped rice bought at the nice packaged. It was what you beg for. People give beggars usually the least thing they have. And it wasn't packed nicely. It was just wrapped up in a piece of old tattered cloth. This was his condition. This is the best thing he could get to offer Krishna. But he was ashamed. He was looking around and seeing the fine, wonderful foods that Krishna was personally feeding him. How can I offer Krishna this dry chipped rice? Not possible. But Krishna served him. Krishna worshipped him with love. And they spoke together throughout the night about their intimate relationships when they were children together in Sandipani Muni's ashram. Krishna asked, "What have you brought for me, Sudama?" Sudama said, "I have not brought..." He was silent. He was too ashamed. But Krishna knows everything. So he grabbed, by force, the chipped rice and took a morsel and put it in his mouth. And Rukmini, she was very pleased to see Sudama Vipra receiving such mercy. But simultaneously, she could not bear seeing her husband eating this poor man's chipped rice. So she stopped him. She said, "My lord, you have taken one morsel. That is enough to satisfy the entire universe." Sudama Vipra went back home. When he came to the place of his house, he thought he was lost. Perhaps he had taken the wrong road or something. Because there was a big, big, beautiful palatial building. Not made of bricks and cement. We're doing construction downstairs. We're so proud thinking, oh, just see how we are progressing with bricks and cement. But Krishna's palace, this palace of Sudama Vipra, the walls were made out of gold and silver and marble and onyx. And not the kind of marble that you get in Jaipur. It was a different kind of marble. This marble was like it was like sheets of jewels shining so beautifully. There was no need for lights. There were so many jewels inlaid in the walls that just their reflections lit up everything day or night. Beautiful gardens and freshwater lakes, auspicious birds, nice trees everywhere, and so many maid servants and servants dressed in very elegant silken robes, all singing and dancing and smiling. Sudama was thinking, where am I? What has happened? This, by all my navigational calculations, this is where my shack is supposed to be. He was confused. And then he saw his wife came out with beautiful jewelry and robes. And she smiled. She was crying to think how merciful is Krishna. And Sudama Vipra could not even speak. He was thinking, because of that one little tiny flake of chipped rice that Krishna accepted from me, this is what he has given me in return. In love for Krishna, him and his wife could not even speak to each other. They were so choked up. They simply cried in love for Krishna. And then, what did they do with all this great wealth? They lived with the same simplicity and detachment that they lived in their shack. They didn't use anything at all for their own enjoyment. They simply used everything for the service of Krishna. Prabhupada said, whether you're living under a tree or whether you're living in a palace should make no difference to a devotee. We're simply concerned with Krishna and pleasing Krishna. If we have a lot, we will use it for Krishna. If we have nothing, we will use our words for Krishna. We will use our mind for Krishna. That's enough. Patram pushpam palam toyam. If you offer Krishna a little leaf, fruit, or water, he will accept. And then your life is perfect. If you have big, big crores and crores of rupees, you use that for Krishna. That is your leaf. It's actually no better than a leaf. That was proven. When Krishna was going to leave Dwarka, the queens of Dwarka were begging Krishna, no, no, please don't go. Narada Muni was going to take him away. So it was decided that if they took the most precious of their wealth and made it equal in weight to Krishna, then that wealth would go and Krishna would stay. Satyabhama put so much of her precious diamonds and rubies and emeralds and gold and other various types of wealth, and no matter how much she put on it, Krishna weighed more on the scale. Krishna was here, and they put more and more and more and more and more, and the scale did not move. Then Rukmini, she took everything off the scale and she placed one tulsi leaf on with pure love and devotion, and the entire scale outweighed. The tulsi leaf outweighed Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna is conquered by love and devotion. So we should not be proud of what we are offering. If you are poor, you offer Krishna a leaf in the form of whatever you have. And if you are very, very rich, whatever you offer, hundreds and millions of rupees, you should understand, this is my leaf. You shouldn't think, oh, look what I have given. You should think, this is my leaf. Your leaf weighs to the degree you are giving what you have. So devotees are never proud, they are always humble. They know that Krishna is only satisfied with devotion. Krishna can give, Krishna can take, we use it for his pleasure. Then there is permanent wealth, the wealth of the heart. Sudama Vipra and his wife, they were the same satisfaction and happiness, either in poverty or in great wealth. because they were tasting the nectar of devotion, the only source of real fulfillment. However, the danger of this world is when we become distracted from these material things, you cannot taste the nectar of devotion. It's just like if you cover your tongue with some mud, can you taste the sweetness of a rasgulla? Have any of you ever tried to do like this? You cannot taste what is rasgulla if your tongue is covered by mud. But if you scrape off all the mud, then you can taste the sweetness of rasgulla. So material attachments are like mud. To the degree it is covering our consciousness, we cannot taste the sweetness of devotion. How is it we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're not weeping in ecstasy? Because our tongue, our consciousness, is so much covered by the mud and the dirt of material existence. We cannot taste the sweetness of the name even though it's right there. The fact is, rasgulla is sweet and it's right in your mouth. But you can't taste it. Why? It's not that the rasgulla is bitter. The sweetest thing is there, inside your mouth, but you cannot taste it. What a terrible situation. But what is rasgulla? If it is prasad, then it is something else. It is transcendentally sweet. But what is the sweetness of Krishna? He is the source of all sweetness. He is rasaraj. He is the embodiment of all nectarine qualities. And he's appeared within the name. And as we are chanting, that name is right in our mouth. And when we hear it, it's right in our mind. Why are we not intoxicated by this? Because the mind is covered by so much mud. You cannot taste. But if you go on chanting, go on serving, gradually this mud is removed and then you can taste the nectar of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama.
So these great devotees of the Lord, they are experiencing this higher taste. Therefore, they have no attraction to the so-called charms of this material world. They live in this world only to benefit others. This material world, the service that we offer to Krishna, is helping other lost souls to achieve loving devotion to Krishna. So that is their only purpose here. Maitreya Rishi was one such person. And Vidura was also such a person. So when Vidura is inquiring submissively from Maitreya Rishi, he is asking him about topics of Krishna. Because actually the more advancement you make, the more eager you are to hear about Krishna. Sometimes they would ask, Prabhupada would say, when they ask, what will we do after we become liberated through chanting of Hare Krishna? Prabhupada say, we will go on chanting Hare Krishna. It is a never-ending process where Krishna's name becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Eternally. So at the beginning stages of our spiritual life, as an austerity, we must be eager to hear. Maitreya Muni was so pleased
Because Vaidura was eager to hear.
The spiritual master knows if you are not hearing properly, all of your other devotional service will be deficient.
Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Sravanam is basis of everything else we do. We may be performing so many acts of service, but unless we are hearing properly the glories of the Lord, you cannot be in the proper consciousness to perform that service in a way that's truly pleasing to Krishna. And the great souls, their only concern is that we make spiritual advancement. They are not concerned with their own situation. They are concerned with your situation. Therefore, when the great devotees see that someone is eager to hear, anxious to hear, willing to hear, that gives such pleasure. Because the devotees of the Lord, they want to serve everyone. And what is that service? To give them Krishna. And Krishna is coming through sound vibration. When a devotee speaks, he's giving you Krishna. And to the degree you are eager to hear it and accept it, you are accepting that person's service. And that is his great pleasure. Because he sees by accepting Krishna, you make spiritual progress. So we find in all of these wonderful dialogues how much pleasure the spiritual master takes when he sees the disciples eager to hear, anxious to hear. Maharaj Parikshit, he had 7 days to live. He could have done so many things. He could have called his lawyer to arrange for his last will and testament of who would inherit what. That's oftentimes considered a very important part of a man's life when he's about to die. Who will get my property? What will I do with it? Who will I give to who? He could have made so many arrangements for his dying in a comfortable situation. But he was only concerned with hearing. So eager to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami, when he saw that this person is so eager to hear, Shukadev Goswami became equally eager to speak. Because he was so pleased. It is such a service to the Lord to want to glorify Him. And the more someone inspires us to glorify Krishna, the more we are indebted to that person. Everyone benefits. Shukadev Goswami achieved perfection by glorifying Krishna and Maharaj Parikshit by hearing those glories. And all the sages and rishis that were present, they achieved such great, great benefits because they were there to listen. Maharaj Parikshit did not go away. 7 days he did not sleep, he did not eat. He was so eager to hear. And therefore, Sukadev Goswami, again and again throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, is glorifying Maharaj Parikshit and thanking him with such a grateful heart that you are so eager to hear. Therefore, I am so eager to speak. And the sound vibration that is being inspired by this combination is for the ultimate benefit of all humanity. And here we find Maitreya Rishi. He is so pleased with Vidura because of his eagerness to hear about Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is how he praised Srila Prabhupada. At Koshi, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking for hours and hours and hours at night
Srila Prabhupada was listening. So many people were performing so many other activities, but Prabhupada was saying, I must hear from my Guru Maharaj. Such an opportunity it is. And although Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there were thousands of people on that parikrama. He was such a great acharya. You can imagine how many people he meets. Yet months later, in Prayag, when Srila Prabhupada was introduced as a candidate for initiation, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, oh, I have taken note of him. He likes to hear. He is eager to hear from me. He does not go away. He was so pleased with him. And Srila Prabhupada explained, my Guru Maharaj would sometimes speak such high language, I could not follow exactly what he was saying, but I was eager just for that vibration to come in and purify my heart. And I was trying to understand. And later on, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur glorified Srila Prabhupada. Such a rare thing. He told the editors of his various publications, anything that Abhay Charanaravinda writes, print it. To say this to an editor is a very strong statement. Anything he writes, print it. Because he hears nicely, therefore anything he speaks is nice. Those words entered into Prabhupada's heart very deeply. And he took this as his only qualification in life to preach Krishna consciousness. I have heard from my guru and I am simply repeating that message. That is my only qualification. He never claimed to be liberated, pure, or anything else. He was very humble. His qualification was that he's simply repeating the words of his Guru Maharaj. If we are eager to hear, we will naturally be eager to speak. Because to the degree we hear the glories of the Lord, we are inspired to share that message with others. That is the nature of transcendental subject matter. So yes, we have so much service to do, and we must do that service. Prabhupada did not want his devotees just simply hearing all day long. He wanted us to take that message that we have heard and put it into our practical life and do service. However, first we have to hear, then we have to chant, then we do our service. This is very essential. So it is a priority above any other services to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, to put ourselves in the proper situation of consciousness so that we can do everything else in Krishna consciousness. After all of our spiritual advancement is based on pleasing Krishna. Krishna is pleased when Guru is pleased. If Guru is pleased when we're hearing the message of Godhead, then what is the use of thinking so many other things I have to do? The greatest personal service you can do for a saintly person is hear from them. That's why they're existing. You may give them some nice place to sleep and some nice things to eat and some nice bed to lay in and some nice cloth. And you may fan him so nicely. These are all services, no doubt. But what is his purpose of accepting whatever you give him? To facilitate his purpose in life. And that is to speak. To give Krishna. So if we're giving so many facilities to the Guru, so that he can speak. But then we don't want to hear him speak. Then what happens is he will not really be satisfied. So we should be eager to hear. If we have a taste, how we please Krishna. Therefore, we should not calculate whether I shouldn't, on the basis of what I feel like, or what I like, or what I do not like, or what my particular mood is at the particular time. We should do it for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. So this is the wonderful example that we are receiving in these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maitreya Rishi was so pleased because of Vidura's eagerness to hear and his wonderful questions about Krishna. And now he's about to continue his dialogue, and he wants to explain where he got this information from. He is going to describe in the next verses the reason why Krishna is manifesting through his mouth is because he was eager to hear from his Guru Maharaj. He's describing parampara. Long ago, the great Sanat Kumar, one of the four brothers born of the mind of Lord Brahma, they approached Shankarshan, who was an expansion of Lord Balaram, who is at the bottom of the universe. Hare Krishna. We should be willing to go anywhere. Chaupati is like the bottom of the universe by certain worldly calculations. It's a dirty, filthy, crowded place. Hare Krishna. So they went to the bottom of the universe, and there Lord Shankarshan was immersed in meditation on Krishna, Lord Vasudev. His eyes were closed, and he was immersed in samadhi. But when the four Kumaras arrived, they were so eager to hear. And they inquired with such submissive questions that Lord Shankarshan gradually opened his eyes a little. Now when he saw these devotees, they were so much anxious to hear the pastimes and teachings of Lord Krishna. He began to speak. And as he spoke, all the rishis, sages, and the most fortunate of the demigods, they all wanted to be there to hear it. Now, how do you get to the bottom of the universe? Hare Krishna. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that the rishis and sages, they entered into the celestial river Ganges, and it took them in that direction. Somehow or other, they all arrived. They were all gathered together in rapt attention to hear the glories of Lord Krishna. And one of the great persons who heard from Lord Shankarshan was Sankhyayana Muni. The great Sankhyayana Muni was the chief amongst the transcendentalists. And he began to describe the glories of the Lord in the terms of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parasara Muni happened to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sankhyayana Muni. Now, Parasara Muni, it is described by Srila Prabhupada, one time his father was killed by being devoured by a demon. So he performed a yajna to kill all the demons in the universe. And he had the power to do so. But then Vasishtha Muni came down and told Parashara that you should not kill all the demons. After all, they're demons. So even though he had the power to kill the demons, he decided that demons are just acting according to their nature. Demons are demons. So why should I kill them? Besides, I am a Brahmin, and the most important quality of a Brahmin is forgiveness. So I should not let the anger of my father being devoured disturb my power of forgiveness. So he stopped the yajna. Then one of the great fathers of the demoniac race, Pulasya Muni, he was very much happy with Parasara. So he gave him all benedictions. When he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, it had such great potency. Maitreya Rishi heard Parasara Muni speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And here he is repeating that same message that he had heard through disciplic succession to Vidura. Srimad Bhagavatam is timeless. It is the eternal message of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nasta prayeshya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. One who hears Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, all the impurities of the heart are cleansed away and Krishna is revealed by his own sweet will. So how eager we should be to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is why the mercy of Srila Prabhupada is every morning he insisted Srimad Bhagavatam class must be spoken and must be heard by devotees. If you can come to the temple, that is the best. If you cannot come, then at home, but you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you hear Srimad Bhagavatam each day. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna himself. Every syllable is an incarnation of Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself according to how you approach him. If you perform the austerity to be anxious to hear Bhagavatam, anxious to purify your life and rectify your bad habits by the sound, then Srimad Bhagavatam will quickly bring you to the perfectional stage of life. There are 9 processes of devotional service. If we hear, but then we are not willing to execute that order, then that means we are not really hearing properly. Therefore, we must do service. We must be eager to do service. Whether it is deity worship or preaching, or whether it means getting Lakshmi to support Krishna consciousness, whatever our service may be, cooking, making the garlands, managing, accounting, but Srila Prabhupada was very, very insistent. If you are not chanting your rounds attentively and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita every day, your service will become, it will dwindle into material, with material consciousness. Even worshipping the deity will become a burden for you if you are not every day hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
The real realization of what we hear comes through our service. But the basis of our service is eagerly, attentively hearing every day. Is there any questions?
Question is not exactly pertaining to today's lecture.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you said that if we are eager to hear, we'll be eager to speak the same message also. Hmm. But often it happens, Lord Chaitanya also said that you should preach this message to whomever you see. But often it happens that when conditions are very favorable for preaching this message, still, because the impurity is in our heart, the mind gives so many excuses that this is not the right time, you preach some other time. And because of that, we don't speak the message, and because of that, we ourselves engage in all nonsensical activities.
Hmm. You should not engage in nonsense activities. Better you hear and chant and preach. Even if you are not such a good speaker, if you are hearing nicely, you will be inspired to assist those who are good preachers. That is also preaching. And according to our capacity, we will want to repeat that message through our words and through our actions. In the beginning, it may be an austerity, but it is the most important austerity in our life. Hare Krishna.
My question is also not pertaining to the subject matter. What is?
Then you give to Murli Dar Prabhu, because he has.
When we preach to a new person, and we find that the person becomes favorably inclined to Krishna consciousness, the emphasis should be to engage the person in service, or to emphasize on the importance of hearing from the bona fide spiritual master.
What do you think?
Well, I just try to do both.
Correct.
But sometimes we find that a person's tendency is to do service and some people's tendency is to hear. So, depending on the inclination, is it like that?
We should try to inspire them to do both. But whatever they're willing to do, we should encourage them to do more and more.
Question about hearing and serving. When Bhagavatam class is going on, supposing there is some service to be done for spiritual master, then we can make a compromise that we can hear the cassette later on. Is that all right?
What do you think?
I think we should serve spiritual master.
But what?
We can do both.
What is the purpose of serving the spiritual master?
Hearing from him submissively. But we can hear the cassette later.
The purpose is to please. So, which is more important, Vani or Bapu?
Vani. Actually both.
Huh?
Vani is more important.
Hare Krishna. If there is an essential service that cannot be done at any other time, then certainly you should do that service. But if somehow or other it can be done at another time, then we should be eagerly anxious to hear.
Thank you, Maharaj.
After all, the spiritual master doesn't have to even be here. He can just send his tapes. But he goes through so much trouble to come so that he could personally speak to you. So certainly, if there is a very vital service that must be done now, then we should do it. If a very essential service is being neglected, that will not please our Guru Maharaj. However, if there's by any means that it can be taken care of very nicely at another time, we should, with our full attention, complete absorption of our consciousness, try to hear.
Second question is,
when devotees are eager to hear and showing their eagerness, then it gives the speaker enthusiasm to speak. That is his pleasure, to give you Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. Second question, Maharaj, with the permission.
Huh?
Second question.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you said that gold is like yellow stool.
Mm.
But even in our scriptures and in our tradition, gold is considered something very auspicious. Even when Krishna got married, when Devaki got married, they all brought in their dowry lots of gold.
Mm.
And we are keeping up with that tradition. So, in keeping up with that tradition, we also give gold in dowry to the children when they get married. And the girls wear gold, so is it soak in them?
It's yellow stool. That's my perception. If it's utilized in Krishna service, then gold is very beautiful. We like to offer gold to the deity of Krishna. We like to put gold on the dome of Krishna's temple. We want to offer the most valuable thing to Krishna. Anything that is used in Krishna's service has unlimited value, transcendental value. It is only yellow stool when it is used for our own separate interests, apart from the service of Krishna. So in Krishna consciousness, the purpose of marriage is to glorify Krishna. Generally, most marriages, it is simply an issue of prestige and sense gratification. People are showing how much wonderful golden jewelry they may have to attract other people's minds. That is, to a brahmachari, sannyasi, or a civilized human being, when they see such marriages, they just see a place covered with yellow stool. However, if it is done in a way of, in a consciousness of presenting one's own body in the nicest way for the pleasure of Krishna, if that's actually your consciousness, then that is nice.
Originally gold was given to the daughter so that the parents would protect her in times of her difficulties. She, just like we said, that with gold she could purchase, or she could
again,
sell the gold.
That gold, is it being used for the purpose of serving Krishna, or is it used for sense gratification? The storage of that gold. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, if you have a big, heavy golden crown and you're drowning in material existence, it will make you sink faster to the bottom of the ocean. So what is the use of that? However, if your wealth is being used for a spiritual purpose in bhakti, then it has great value. So we are not speaking about material life. Material life is condemned, however you want to decorate it. Whether you decorate it with cloth or gold or jewels or garlands. But when Krishna is in the center of life, actually, honestly and genuinely in the center of life, then whatever we used, whatever we offer, has great value, eternal value. So people have to live and they sustained. So oftentimes dowry of giving gold or giving wealth or giving cows, it's meant as an offering of affection. Now, if that family is living in Krishna consciousness, all that you have given has eternal value. If that family is not living in Krishna consciousness, then it's worthless. From the eternal point of view, from the point of view of reality, it is all worthless. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Maharaj.
So we should not think, I have so much gold, I will not give it to my daughter, I will keep it. It is whatever you have, it is your duty. But it only has, that gift only has real value if it is used in Krishna service. Bhagavad Gita explains charity in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. In the mode of ignorance, it's to give the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong place, which is usually what's happening. The mode of passion is when we give it, but we have our own ulterior selfish motives. Mode of goodness is the right person at the right place at the right time, giving the right thing. But Krishna wants us to transcend the modes of material nature. And that means to give it in such a way that it will be used for the glorification of God. That will liberate us from the cycle of birth and death.
Would this be an instruction for all times to come? That ladies should not wear much gold? Especially devotees?
You should only do what pleases Krishna. I am not expert at affairs of ladies. But it's, if you're wearing gold because you want to be so nice for Krishna's pleasure, then you can wear gold. But if you're wearing gold because you want to make other ladies envious of you, then better you don't wear gold. If you're wearing gold because you want to attract people to your dying slab of flesh called a body, and you want to somehow or other make them think you're very beautiful, it's better not to wear gold. It's better to wear yellow stew. Our purpose is not to attract our people to our bodies. Our purpose is to attract people to Krishna. And our purpose is to attract Krishna's heart by our devotion. So sometimes pujaris wear gold because they want to make themselves very nice looking for Krishna. And sometimes women decorate themselves with nice saris and nice ornaments because they want to make themselves pleasing to their husband, who is supposed to be the representative of Krishna. And they do it for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So if that is your consciousness, honestly, then you can do.
Prabhupada has mentioned in one of the purports, the lady should be very well ornamented in front of her. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in one of the purports, a lady should be very well ornamented in front of her husband.
If the husband wants that. On certain occasions. But that's not for our sense gratification. We have to see everything in relationship to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The philosophy of real life is we should not be attached to prestige or sense gratification. So it is actually, if it's put on, it should be put on as an offering of sacrifice. And the husband isn't pleased just to see gold. The husband should be pleased that his wife is going out of her way to make herself pleasing to him. And this is just the form of doing it. And if Krishna is in the center of that relationship, then it is auspicious. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Why are you asking all these questions?
So that I can guide others.
Very well. Are you satisfied with these answers?
Yes, Maharaj.
Honest.
Quite satisfied.
Thank you very much. But you could have asked Radhe Shyam, he could have answered. He is your temple president. Yes? Any further comments on this subject?